I'm with Chef Darren Templeman, and we've part of the Armidale pop-up has really been more about food. It's been about life as well, and experiences that we've learnt along the way. And Darren's given me the privilege of coming out and meeting one of Armidale's fantastic producers, who provided the majority of the vegetables that were used on the menu. And Darren, could you just firstly just tell us a little bit about, as a chef firstly, what using Bindu's produce and meeting her has meant?
You can't really explain in words. You really do have to come out to where to Bindu's beautiful house and to a lovely little ecosystem here that she has with the garden to fully understand. And it's very humbling as a chef to meet someone. I know Bindu shaking her head here and saying no, but no, phenomenally, you have no idea how great it is to come out and to meet you.
It's only hard word. And nature. Yeah.
But you've the balance that you have here with your house as well, and your pride. And
pride.
No, for sure.
I'm proud of the house, definitely. I think Paul did such a wonderful job building it, you know, on the money that we had. But and it just seems to have got nicer and lovelier. And that, do I talk about the wall? Like, that's the just concrete render with ochre colour in it. That's very natural, the ochre colour in it. Yeah. Previous houses we built out of bamboo and clay, but I'm getting a bit old for that. Yeah,
we were talking a little about religion earlier and your faith, and how does that translate into what you do in the garden?
Ah, well, one of our primary things we have to do in this faith is regenerate the earth. That means, you know, respect the earth. That's our big, and not put chemicals in it, and kind of tune in with nature. We have to unite with nature, even if you only can, in a city, and in Japan, of course, people live in cities, they can only have a pot plant and grow. But even if you eat leaves off that vegetable that you grew in a pot in a city situation, it's going to be better for you, especially if you gave it light and you didn't give it any chemicals. Giving light is what we do. That purifies the soil, all those chemicals. Well, you know, you can tell you actually
in the flavour.
Yeah,
unbelievable. Mm. It's such a stark freshness of the flavour.
Yeah,
everything is, you know, particularly defined. You know exactly what you're tasting. Seriously, mind blowing.
Good to hear.
Darren, like last week when I spoke to you on the phone, I haven't heard you as excited when you'd actually discovered Bindu's produce. Yeah. And when I came down, and I came down in the kitchen, and I tasted it instantly, I knew what you were talking about.
All right.
is it something, Bindu, that do you know your produce is that extraordinary for these people to use? Or?
Not really. It's lovely to hear it. You know, I feel it's kind of a magic, really. Mm. You're fair dinkum.
Yeah, yes. Sure. Oh, trust me, he is.
Honestly.
I wouldn't say it if
I didn't believe in myself.
Okay,
and,
far out.
Yeah, for sure. And again, to show the people of Armidale, you know, just what they have 5 minutes away from the city.
Oh, everyone around here could be growing. The Dumeric Council's got a survey going at the moment to find how much local stuff is being grown, and there ought to be more of it, you know. There's a lot of people around here, my age and younger, who know a little bit about gardening, and gardening in a climate like this, because this climate, well, it's not like the coast, is it?
That's right.
You've got to grow what will grow here, and within the climate. On a good year, we can get 3 crops of potatoes in the summer. Now, that's good. Mm. This year we didn't, of course. They take a lot of water. Mm. But you'll grow something else, like the Jerusalem artichokes did.
Oh, they were beautiful, truly. That was incredible. And that was one of the highlights for me, Darren, of the pop-up. When I first tasted that, it was just one of those moments, and you know straight away there's no hiding the produce, and you didn't complicate it too much.
Yeah. No masking of the flavour.
Oh, the dressing was lovely, though. Yeah. I dipped my bread in the dressing. I didn't let anyone have any of that.
That's good.
Yeah. But you had little green tomatoes in there too on that plate.
That's right. That's the ones from your vine.
They were standing there eating. Yeah. Eating these green tomatoes.
Oh, look, the chefs, they'll eat anything they can on the thing. And for a chef, this is their dream is to find produce and take it straight away and reduce the food miles. And when Darren found your produce. It was amazing. And young Dylan, he brought young Dylan Carter out, who's only 15.
Yeah, we see, yeah.
And I was speaking to Dylan the other day, and I said, you know, tell me about a few of the highlights of your trip. And he said, meeting Bindu and going out to her farm.
Gee, eh?
And you have inspired Dylan to now want to go to farms more and meet the producers that that give him that food to cook. Because before, being a young chef in the city, the produce just turns up in cartons and packets, and
yeah,
and young Dylan to come out here, it was almost like a light bulb moment for him.
Good, isn't and it nice?
Great for him to have the connection, yeah, you know, as a young person as well,
yeah,
to understand where, you know, how to work the land.
Yeah, in your country, they all used to have allotments.
Mm-hmm.
We used to hear about that.
Yeah.
Does it still happen? That's a nice thing.
Yeah, but it's few and far between now, unfortunately. Oh. Time, you know, time, life, change. Time balance, you know, it's really hard in these days. That's just slowly disappearing. So hopefully it regenerates again and comes back into the, you know.
But aren't there still retired people and people like 83 years old like me who they have the time?
Yeah, but still,
and the knowledge.
But urban sprawls, you know, the way cities just
paved it over.
Yeah, well,
how did your love of produce begin, Bindu? Can you tell us a bit about that?
I suppose my mother, we were from Tasmania, my family, and they'll grow a lot of things, and they still do, yeah. And so we always grew vegetables. And I remember Mum, when she'd be transplanting something, and I might be nervous, I'm hurting it, she'd say, no, they want to grow. You look after them, they want to grow. And they were, she's right. So and you just ate whatever was growing, yeah. And that was in Sydney. That wasn't in Tasmania. It's a lot easier in Tasmania. Everything's a lot easier in Tasmania. They don't have so many droughts for a start, and I think the soil is better. It isn't A grade road base for a start. So you've been seeing that Matthew Evans program.
And in this, I noticed in your garden, you don't worry too much, or you're not obsessed with structure in a garden. And that's for me, that's a positive thing. And can you tell us a bit about that?
Grow where it grows.
Yeah,
it's a philosophy.
You have to grow things in season. Well, that's structural.
Yeah.
Apart from that, when something finishes, and I'll put, you know, look after the soil a bit, dig it up, and see if the next plant will suit growing after that one.
Yeah.
You know what? That's crop rotation.
Yep.
That's scientific, that is. Yeah. And so there'll be a bit of space there. Yep. And I've got some lettuce to put in, and I'm going to put them in where you took those Jerusalem artichokes.
Okay.
Because the dirt was so... He was digging them up with his hands.
Yeah.
He was.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I went and got a fork. He's digging with...
Delicious. It was beautiful. They just came out and they're just there. And the grubs were there as well.
Yeah. Well, the Jerusalem artichokes improved that soil.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like that before.
Okay.
Yeah. So now I can put the lettuces in and they'll do really well because the soil's so nice. That's... Yeah. I love that, don't you?
Yeah,
You know, it feels as though they're happy to do it this way. It's not going to be such a struggle for the lettuces.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We talked a bit about earlier about, you know, philosophy and of life, and you come to this property and you instantly feel the energy here, and it's something we've come in, and instantly as I walked in through almost a cathedral of bamboo, and you walk in, it's so tranquil, and the energy is extraordinary.
Isn't he lovely? Yeah.
And it must be amazing living in this environment.
Well, I was living in a rainforest area on the coast.
Mm.
And down there, you just put a stick in the ground, it's going to grow. It's that easy. And you get so much rain. But the boss of our religion in Australia said, global warming is going to happen and sea levels are going to rise. I want you to sell this property and move to higher ground and start a survival farm.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, oh, all right then. And it took a while to find this place, and it's taken even longer to get actual dirt happening. Mm. But the end.
Yeah, we were talking earlier on about there's no money in it, but there's a... It's for the love and for the lifestyle of it.
Right. Well, look, you want to get a lot of money and live in Tokyo? I worked in Tokyo for 8 months. The 24 hours noise. Yeah. I worked in New York. Who wants all of that, you know? Is that a life?
I know, it's a different life. That's
it is.
Whether it is a life or not, it's debatable.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
You've got a lot of money, but it doesn't compensate, does it?
You can't take it with you, can you? Mm.
But it doesn't compensate. Every day you're going to go out and... My friend in New York, she lives in a tiny little flat. She's got to have a great big dog this big, because when she goes for a walk, she has to have that dog walking with her.
That's protection.
It's protection. What kind of living like that's going to give you terrible stress?
Yes,
isn't
it? Yeah. Well, I said to Darren when I first saw you come in on the Sunday, and you just looked quite youthful, and it was the one of the highlights of the trip for me was when Darren cooked up a little plate of your vegetables and sent it out to you, and the joy in your face when that hit the table.
And again, still,
was one of the highlights of the trip.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's good with the food. He respects the food.
Yeah, respect the food and the people who work on the land. Another huge thing for chefs in Sydney and cities to actually go out there and make a connection with people like yourself and like Sally and Peter at Mini Hill and like the New England eggs.
Oh yeah, aren't those eggs great?
Oh, delicious. But it's understanding the hard work that goes behind the scenes and not just when the produce arrives in the kitchens. So, yeah, it's a...
Yeah, we have a connection with this. Mm. I take photographs of my vegetables. I think they're so beautiful. Yeah. You know, they are.
And also when I first arrived, you said to me, you've come at the wrong time. There's nothing here.
No. Last week, before we had a frost, you know, it was all so nice.
There's nothing here. And you take me down to the garden there, into the greenhouse, and I'm like, yeah, there's nothing here. Look at this. It's like a utopia. Mm.
And the local chefs too, when Darren showed them the produce and the chefs that had come from town, and they were just all amazed. And
oh, really?
Yeah, and the taste of it. And there was a chef come down called Adam Moore who's had an amazing experience in the food industry. And when he was tasting, you know, your produce, he understood straight away. And it's been overwhelming for us. And I mean, I know you've inspired Darren incredibly.
You can grow a pot plant somewhere, can't you? Oh, you haven't got time, have you?
Well, I have now. I'll make time now, that's the thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's very inspiring. Thank you very much for introducing me to all your fantastic plants and flowers, vegetables.
Good.
Look, you know,
can you tell my listeners a little bit about what you do grow on your property, Bindu?
What do I want?
What you're growing just in that greenhouse environment?
Leafy greens is our main thing. So all kinds of Asian greens and salad greens. And we used to have chocos, but they didn't do any good this year. And Jerusalem artichokes and potatoes and onions and leeks and I give up.
Yeah, there's globe artichokes there.
Globe artichokes.
There's an abundance of
onions. What about the yakon? There's yakon, no mark. Well. What do you call that?
Yeah, yakon.
You called it something else.
There's jicama there as well, which is like the South American nut. Yakon's from South America as well, which was coming from in Sydney just a couple of years ago from one producer, Kath Vans Happy from Field to Feast. But again, how often do you find yakon? And to actually just harvest it, beautiful little...
They were small ones. Yeah, we should have got
and delicious.
You needed a fork to get the bigger ones.
Yeah.
But you only grow that for survival food. Oh, I'll tell you what good
and
thing.
And daikon as well.
Oh, they're a pest. Down around the bottom dam, the big dam that's nearly dry, we put another survival food. This is a Chinese. It's like a reed, grows reed, and underneath it makes a big rhizome, you know. But it's completely tasteless, but it's good starch food. So if you were desperate, and that grows so well, it's taken off down there. So because of this rising sea level and survival farm, we tried to get a lot of survival type food.
Yes.
Tough stuff that not delicate. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just with the name of the farm, Surya?
Surya means place of God's laws. Ah. So we have to behave ourselves. We don't put chemicals, you know, if you want it to be... If you're going to name your place of God's laws, you watch it.
You adhere to that, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
We didn't name it. The name was put on for us. Okay.
Fantastic.
One of the things that's inspired me that at your age, it's something that you give me inspiration to think that someone out here is is still doing all these things at this age and producing this amazing produce. Can you tell me about your outlook on that, you know, as far as your life? And
I can't think of anything more worthwhile that I want to do. When I was working in those, you know, cities like New York and Tokyo and London and that, I was in advertising.
Yeah.
And I feel I have incurred a lot of karma from advertising things that aren't good for people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not consciously working to pay off that karma. Mm. It's just that this feels like a better thing to do and I enjoy it more anyway.
You talked a little bit about a cooking career earlier in your life, or you had some
corn.
Could you tell us a little bit about that if you want to?
In advertising, you had to be fairly... what was that word? You know, you do a lot of different things.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, right. So we were advertising some food products, so we do research on that. And also you've got clients and you're trying to sell them your campaign. So a good way to do this is if you entertain them with lovely food that you've cooked and so you have these lunches in the boardroom or somewhere, and you've cooked these sol veronique or various whatever they thought they'd like, you know, and that way you might get the account or the campaign. Mm. See, that's all.
Yeah. Darren, when you leave Armidale, and I know one of the highlights of Dylan it was meeting Binder, what will you take away from this experience going forward in what you do as a chef and as a person?
Oh, such inspiration coming from the people of the local area here. Again, such a priceless, you cannot buy this sort of experience with money, you really can't. And meeting these people and understanding the workload that you actually put in, the passion you put into the land, and you know, for more chefs to start to pay homage and respect to that.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
No, seriously, you have no idea how much respect goes, you know, from us to you guys for working,
nice?
For sure.
Mm.
No, for sure.
There's a writer, Rebecca West, who wrote a huge book, and through it she was travelling all through Bulgaria and all those dreadful countries, but meeting people on the land, the peasant level, my level, you know. And she kept saying through the book, we don't pay enough for our food.
Very true. Exactly. Yeah, very true.
Can you talk a bit about that, Darren?
Yeah, because when you think about food security and, you know, of the youngsters going out there buying their cheap meals, their discounted meals, their takeaway foods, it's food that's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good for your health. It's not good for anybody, really. And that food that's being discounted, they don't understand the actual cost of the growing of the food, the way nature grows it, the way people tend the land. And something that we're trying to work now with the Big Feed charity is taking working people with people out in regional areas to educate kids that there is more to the life than just takeaway than fast food. So, you know, there's the respect at the new generational level. So, yeah, there is a cost involved. I believe the more people understand that, the more willingness they'll have to be, you know, there will be to pay for quality food, which then supports people like yourself.
I don't want any much.
No, but you still have to live, and you know, and it's still a reciprocal thing because you're giving something very, very good and very positive to the community.
Yeah. Well, if I had a bit more money now, I'd be getting that greenhouse fixed.
Exactly.
Exactly. But as it is, it's going to have to wait a while, you know, because maybe it's because people don't sit around having dinner with the whole family and everyone's too busy there.
I think that's I think that's a really good point. People don't have that thing at the end of the day where they used to get together and talk about what happened in the day and talk about their
And in the kitchen, you know, if you're standing by the stove and food's going in, it's nice. You have fun. Well, when I was married to a Turk, you might want to put this one on there. we were training one young bloke to come and join Mahikari and start doing Lyra, and he thought it was just so great, this kid. And he said to me one day, Bindu, when you were married to a Turk, how was it? You know, do they get jealous, the four wives, when the husband takes one of these wives off? And I was just waiting for this opportunity. Oh, well, actually, Ian, what happens is the four ladies draw lots, and who gets the short straw loses. She's got to go with them. And the other three go in the kitchen and have a party. This, I think, you know, I think I learned a lot of this from the that period in my life, that 20 years, the Turkish appreciation of food, and their motto being, you're only here temporary, may as well enjoy it.
Yeah.
And they're growing the food and all the different kinds of food. And they brought things, you know, you've heard that, seeds in their corsets, the ladies did and all that. Yeah. And they introduced me to all these. But did I tell you this one? My Turkish cookbook had the front page said, the main ingredient in Turkish cooking is hours of patient effort in the kitchen. Yeah, but
priceless.
We used to enjoy that patient effort. Yeah, the ladies sitting around there.
And the you were drawing the long straw, that's why. There's a fish jumping.
It was,
One of these days I'm going to see one of them doing that.
Darren, I'd like to thank you for bringing me out to meet Bindu, and it's been one of the things I'll take back from Armidale Isle, and the harmony and balance in this room and this farm shows in Bindu's produce, and it's a credit to you and the way you live your life, Bindu. Oh,
thank you. Wouldn't have it any other way. Don't know.
No, thank you.
Darren, anything else you'd just like to finish on?
I've completely enjoyed my whole experience in Armidale, and so thank you very much.
Thank you, so have we. You know, big event in our lives. Big thank event you. For the year.
I know one of the things the boys wanted to do was come down, and the first thing Darren said about the pop-up, he said, we've got to respect their produce. And he said, it's not about any of us. He said, I just want to get some local produce, and we have to respect the produce.
Yeah.
And I think they've achieved that this weekend.
So what, you know, what's your most motivation here? Because this is, I don't see this happening much.
Well, my motivation was to come out in and work for you guys instead of the other way around. So if you work in, you know, 365 days a year to produce food for chefs, now it's for us to come out here and to cook for you guys, you know, for you to see your product in a little bit of a different light, and you know, for us to spoil you for a change. So and here we are.
I think you did it. Yeah.
I hope it happened, yeah.
You must have an altruistic heart.
I think he does. He's a very kind and modest man, and we're lucky to have him, not only as a in the industry, but as a friend. So
yeah.
Okay, thank you, Bindu, and thank you, Darren.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks.